Blog Talk Radio.
Things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I'm your spokesman, the spokesman for the King of Glory. And it's good to be here. We thank God that we're here just another day. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And the psalmist goes on to say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So we thank God that we're here. Just another day, another session on Blog Talk Radio, and knowing that the month of February is just about gone, so we're moving on. Pretty soon we'll be in March. We'll be in the third month. The first quarter of the year will be gone after March. But everybody will be glad that spring is on the way, that's for sure. So we thank God that we're here. We thank God for you, all of our listeners, all of our Facebook listeners and friends, all of our Twitter listeners and friends, all of our LinkedIn listeners and friends, and also all of our Blog Talk followers and friends. Thank God for you that you listen in on the show. So we're grateful for that. So we've been doing the last 6 weeks or so before the new year, and on into January, we were talking about miracles. And the last 3 weeks, or maybe four, we've been talking about end time signs out of the Gospels, the end time signs, what's going on in our world, knowing that Jesus is coming soon. It may be morn, it may be night or noon, but Jesus is coming soon. And that was one of the last things that he said in the book of the Revelation. He didn't say maybe, he didn't say perhaps, but he said these words, surely I come quickly. So we know that God can't lie. So he is coming back, somebody said, for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy. And that is in the book of Ephesians. So we thank God for that. And we want you to know, as we know, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. And this is what the Apostle St. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. He said, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. Unto everyone of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? It's a question. He that descended is the same that also that the ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into unity of the faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That word grow up means be perfect. Like he said, unto a perfect man in the previous verse, till we all come into unity of the faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. The word perfect in biblical terminology means maturity. So that's what Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 48, I believe it is. Be therefore perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. So he is talking about maturity when he mentioned the word perfect. So we thank God that we are here on today. And I think I mentioned about we thank God for our LinkedIn friends also. So today our theme is still the Godhead, which got to be close to a year that we have been using this theme, because everybody don't know who Jesus is. And then when we started off in 2010, February of 2010, we started off doing the Godhead. And it was more than one with me at that time. And I do have others that are also that teach with me, particularly this one of our elders is a educator, and he taught when we went through the book of Acts. He taught on the history. So we just thank God for him, Elder Ryan Fountain. He knows all the biblical history. I think he is a history major, being an educator. But anyway, the Godhead is only found three times in the Bible. It's amazing because some people don't know how to answer the question when it is asked, do you believe in the Trinity? And the answer is emphatically no, there is no such thing as a Trinity. That came out of the Catholic Church, that so-called vision that Constantine had in 320 A.D. There is no such thing as the Trinity, but God is one and his name is one. And that's what he always wanted his people to know, and especially initially starting off with the children of Israel. That was what he said in Deuteronomy 6 and 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. In the beginning, God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is no freak. You got more than one head, you are a freak. God is the head of the church, which is his body. Jesus is the eternal one. Colossians 2 and 9, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Romans 1 and 20, talking about his eternal power and Godhead. Acts 17 to 29, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto silver and gold and all those kinds of things. So they were worshiping in the 17th chapter of Acts to the unknown God. They have a superstition. Apostle Paul let them know, you are ignorantly worshiping that unknown. The unknown God was the inscription that they had. He let them know about God that made the heaven and the world. He's not far from any of us. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. Also of your own poets. So he went on to let them know, I declare unto you, we are all made of one blood. He's talking about the human. We had a lot to say in the last month or so, ending up last year with the miracles just before the Christmas season, because I usually do my broadcast virtually all the time on Wednesdays. I can be versatile and switch it up if I want to. Sometimes I will. Depends on what I'm doing. If I got to go out of town or whatever, I can switch my broadcast and do it on another day other than Wednesday. I do have that flexibility. And that, and instead of, as opposed to not doing it all, Christmas and New Year's last year in 2013 both fell on a Wednesday. So I just took a break. But so we thank God for that. So what we want to do on today, we are talking about word power. Word power. And there's power. And where the word of a king is, there is power. And we know we're serving the King of Kings. So that's what we want to talk about on today is word power. So we want to start off in Luke. And also, I always seem to forget. I just thank God for this vehicle of Blog Talk Radio. And we also have a guest call-in number should you desire to call in. You have a question or you have a comment, you are welcome to call in. And our guest call-in number is 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. So you are very welcome to call in to Truth Ministry. So we're going to move on. We're talking about word power on today. And so our endeavor is to definitely to get you to see the deity of God, knowing that there is only one person in the Godhead. So it's just people, the Jews sought after a sign and the Greeks after wisdom, but Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. This is in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. So he says, you see your calling, brethren, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has called. You know, God chose the base things and the foolish things of the world to confine the wise, and no flesh or glory in his presence is what it all got down to. When the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So those scriptures that I just made reference to, and then the preceding scriptures after that, that's why he was saying about the Jews seek after a sign and the Greeks wisdom, but Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So he says, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. Apostle Paul was an exception. He was a wise man. He even said, as a wise master builder, he was saying, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. So even us as apostolics, Pentecostal apostolics, me being a member of the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World Incorporated out of Indianapolis, Indiana, we call it PAW. A lot of our apostolic fathers have passed. So we got to take the lead. So I've been in this since 1976. This would be my 38th year. So I just thank God for the teaching that I got. And our first presiding bishop, back in the early 1930s, was the honorable, the late honorable Bishop G.T. Haywood, we call him, Garfield Thomas Haywood, was our first presiding bishop of the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World. So even as it was with Israel, and I'm in Deuteronomy now, I'm reading through. I read through every year on top of everything else that I do. And so he's talking about to Israel how they got to teach the law, teach it to thy sons and thy sons' sons. So the same is true on today. You have to pass truth along. You got to teach your children. You teach it to your sons and your sons' sons. So you teach it to them, they teach it to their children. People live generations. So you can teach your children and also teach your grandchildren, just like it was, they mentioned about some of the patriots, how they had their children that sat on their knees. What they're making reference to is grandbabies. You hold grandbabies on your knee. So I have grandchildren. So that's what that's making reference to. So you teach them. You teach them practical things. You teach them biblical things. You teach them principles. You put in them the right thing to do. You don't have to teach them how to fight. You don't have to teach them to have anger. You don't have to teach them to retaliate, because it's in them to do that. And we've seen that. Especially one of my young granddaughters, she would have it out with some of her friends, especially little girls. You don't have to teach her to defend herself. She automatically would do that. You got to teach people how to trust God and believe God. So you're not letting, that doesn't mean you let somebody make a fool out of you. So we want to move on today talking about word power. So we want to start off, and we're going to start off in the book of Luke, and we're going to move on here. So a few things that are very important that we can say as we move along, because our endeavor is to get you to see the oneness of God, and that's what we've always been trying to do, and using our theme, the Godhead. Because there is only one God. So people don't understand that. They don't realize there's no such thing as a Trinity. And James 2:19 says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So even the devil himself and all his little imps know that there is only one God. But he's got people fooled into thinking it's three and the thinking it's two. But God is so great, he can never be what he is not, but when he gets done being what he wants to be, goes back to being what he always was and what he never ceased to be, he's always God. Just because he became a man, he didn't stop being God. He upholding all things, the Hebrew writer says, by the word of his power. And we may get there before the night is over. So we're going to move on here in Luke, the first chapter, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And that's what happens with us. When we get saved, we have our wilderness experience. And so just a little humor to inject here, but it's the same principle. Like in The Wizard of Oz, when they said lions and tigers and bears, yeah, in your wilderness experience, you're going to deal with all kinds of people. And this is what the book of the Revelation is talking about, beasts and the bear and the leopard and all these things. It's a reason for that. Like Jesus is referred to as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But he is going to, in the book of the Revelation, he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The lion is the most ferocious beast that there is. So there are other animals can, if you watch National Geographic or some of these animal channels, the giraffe, they can kick a lion. If they kick him right, they can fix him. But a lion is a ferocious beast. A bear is a ferocious beast. A leopard is a swift beast. So these kinds of animals are symbols to some of the things that are going to happen during the tribulation period after the church is taken away from here. But the point being, what I'm making right now is we have our wilderness experience. So even Apostle Paul made mention in 2 Corinthians about the subtlety of Satan. He was talking about Eve, how she was beguiled by Satan. And, you know, so the devil is crafty. He's a master of deception. And he tries to twist the word around. We're going to see that on today. But there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in his word. You can't separate God from his word. That's why I read that scripture. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. In verse 14, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, John says, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he went on to say, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He is the great high priest. That's why he says we have not a great high priest we have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In Hebrews, the third chapter and the fourth chapter, talks about the priesthood and all of that. But he says, but in all points he was tempted like as we, yet without sin. He's talking about God in the flesh, God incarnate in the person of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus is eternal, but the Son isn't. The sonship is going to be done away with, but that same Jehovah is in that body. And so he goes on here. He said, but he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. So he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There was a time he was a God of wrath and judgment back in the Old Testament. People died without mercy under the two or three witnesses. You could be put to death. That was a court of law back then, the way that they carried it out. And so you could be stoned to death. People get caught committing adultery, and two or three witnesses, they'd be stoned to death. The people stoned them to death. Maybe different ones would throw stones. They'd throw stones at them until they die. That's worse than a firing squad. But what we're going to do, we're going on here today. So we know that we have our wilderness experience. We're going to have that. We're going to be tempted of the devil, just like the master himself was. But like somebody said, you know, First Corinthians 10 and 13, there have no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will also with the temptation make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So in other words, temptation come, God's got a way of escape. There's a door for you to get out. Somebody said, when temptation come, don't answer the door, send the word. So that's what we have to do. So in other words, you got to remember what the law of your God says. It's got to be in your heart. And that's what Joseph said when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. We don't know what she did. She, you know, how she really carried herself to try to tempt Joseph. But Joseph knew. This was before the law. He knew that I'm not going to lay with you. You're a married woman. You're my master's wife. I'm not going to lay with you. I'm not going to sin laying with you, committing adultery, that is, and sin against God. Joseph knew better than that. So that's why his coat, he ran and left his coat. She lied and said he tried to force her. The devil was a liar. So that was her evidence, his coat of many colors. But that's all right. God still fixed it. The man ended up being the governor, rationing out the food and all. I mean, it's a long story if you read back in the book of Genesis, but that is just a little sidebar. So we want to keep moving here. So he was led of the Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. When they were ended, he afterward hungered. Now, somebody tried to do that back, I heard, some years ago, and he stinked so bad, they said you couldn't even get close to him. Well, you can't do like the Lord did. You can't do like Moses did. When Moses went up there and got and the mount, and he received the two tablets, which the commandments written with the finger of God, he didn't eat bread or drink water for 40 days. He was up there. God sustained him. Jesus is God incarnate. He could do that. We can't do that. People, you can't go over 3 or 5 days without food or water. And fasting is one thing. And in our day, and a so-called hunger strike is another thing. That ain't got nothing to do with God. That's people out there starving their own self for whatever the good is. But a fast is one thing, and a hunger strike is another thing. So the point being, it better be God when it's done, and this was. So he afterward hungered, and the devil said unto him, thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Well, for your information, like they say, FYI, the devil knew who he was. He's a piece of trash. He's a liar. That's why he said to Jesus when he was on the cross, if you come down, we'll believe you. He already knew who he was. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He wasn't going to come down because of that lie. The devil is a liar and a father of lies. So he said, Jesus answered him saying, it is written. Remember, we're talking about word power. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. See, he could talk to him because he's going to tell him where to go. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. I mean, how stupid is that? You're going to tell the devil, going to tell the Lord himself, I give you power if you worship me. And that's what the devil is wanting people to do now. And it is devil worship. People are doing all kinds of things. And also in the music, the devil is getting what he wants. But he's not going to really get what he wants until he's in the body of that man, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, sitting in the temple. Thessalonians, the second chapter, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let. Until he be taken out of the way, then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the power, the brightness of his coming, even whose coming is after the working of Satan with all deceivableness and lying wonders, and them which believe not the truth. So God's going to send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie because they don't believe the truth. This is in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. So that's the son of perdition. That is the Antichrist. He's going to sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So that's what the mark of the beast, all this stuff is all about. After 3.5 years, the Jews are going to realize that they got fooled. They got played, as we say, by the devil himself. So three individuals that Satan specifically enters into, that's very important. One is the serpent. Number two, he entered into Judas before he betrayed the Lord. Says that Satan entered in. He told him, remember, he said, what you do, do it quickly. He went out, Satan entered in, he went out, and what did he do? The devil will make a fool out of you. He went and hanged himself because he betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. He realized he messed up, and he said, you know, I betrayed the blood of the innocent. They said, what is that to us? See thou to that. That's when he went and hanged himself, Judas. He was the son of perdition. Some people don't have sense enough to realize Judas could not be saved. Jesus said, none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. You got to realize when he speak it, it's going to come to pass. When he declare it, it is so, because he is God. He knows all things. So we go on here. He brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. It is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. So originally, he broke this word up. He didn't tell the whole truth, the devil, that is, when he made mention about he shall give his angels charge over thee. So he's going to keep you in all your ways. So where that quote is coming from is out of the 91st Psalm. He didn't quote the whole thing. So what it is, he said, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou bear thy foot against a stone. So he omitted that part. He's going to give his angels charged over thee to keep thee, the part that he omitted, in all thy ways. So that's very important. So piece of the, half of the truth is not the whole truth. So he used it to try to be clever. That's what we call the subtlety of Satan, the craftiness of Satan. He's a liar. He has a way with words. And people nowadays have a way. Deceivers and false prophets have a way with words. For instance, like they keep harping on this, sowing a seed. The seed is the word of God. Seed is not money. And so that's what they're trying to act like. And so everybody is sow a seed, the word. You got to make the word of work. You got to do something. No, no, you don't. You pay. God only requires the tithe, which is a tenth. 10 cents out of a dollar. The other 90% is yours. A free will offering. You ain't got to bless your pastor or none of that to be blessed. I mean, I've heard all kinds of foolishness that people say. No, he didn't die for you. You God requires the tithe and a free will offering. Anything else you do, that is on you. People do different things. You can't be God-giving, that's for sure, but as every man has purpose in his heart, so let him give. Your blessing is not contingent upon you blessing, they say, a prophet. That ain't got nothing to do with us nowadays. And I challenge that. And you got to know. But you'll be conned out of all your money. So people keep lying. That's all they keep lying about. It's begging for money because they're greedy or filthy lucre themselves is what the problem is. So anyway, he goes on here. Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. When the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. So we know the Bible lets us know to submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Yes, he will. But he will be back because he's a dirty crook and he don't give up. So he will be back. So you got to fight him with the word. And so I say that at times. I know how to fight a devil. You got to fight him with the word. You got to fight him with the name of Jesus because he knows who you are. There's examples of that in the book of Acts. They said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? They said, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. No, you better know him for yourself. Because the devil knows them that he still has. He knows, like someone said, of a child of God, your name should be known in hell. So in other words, you're tearing down the devil's kingdom. You're a threat to his kingdom. He knows who you are. So he tries to hinder us from assignments that God would have us to do. But God's word is not going to return void. His word is going to be fulfilled. So we go on here, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. He came to Nazareth, where he was brought up. He had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for it to read. Let me say something here about the Sabbath. The Sabbath, actually, the literal Sabbath, that was intended for the Jews. That's not us. That was intended for the Jews. So, but some people don't even realize right now, like the church worships in the New Testament church, they started the worship on the first day of the week. So guess what the first day of the week is? It's not Monday. The first day of the week is Sunday. So, I mean, the so-called people call themselves Seventh-day Adventists. I mean, they don't even get it. So that doesn't go like that. That doesn't, because the Sabbath does not apply. He said Sabbath wasn't made for man, but man was made for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. So the point being is, you got to be the same every day. That was literally made for the Jews. That has nothing to do with us. So even the gospel, initially, he was sent to preach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's why the Syrophoenician woman said, he was saying, it's not meet to give the children's bread unto the dogs. She says, truth, Lord, but even the dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from the master's table. So that's why he was saying, I haven't seen so great a faith, no, not in Israel. So that wasn't their time, the Gentiles' time yet. That's why Apostle Paul was saying when he heard of the faith of the saints that were at Rome. He didn't He didn't start that church. He started the church down in Corinth. So he heard of the faith of the saints where they're at Rome. He went unto them because he wanted to impart unto them some spiritual gift. So that's why he was saying, I'm ready to preach to you that are at Rome. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Here's what I wanted to get to. Here's the key. He said, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So Jew and Greek, Jew and Gentile. The Jews first is the key. Also to the Greek. So he says, therein is the righteousness of God revealed, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. In the book of Habakkuk, it literally says, the just shall live by his faith. So this is so important. So we go on here. His custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, which is the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. This is the 61st chapter of Isaiah, incidentally, for your information, for point of reference. So he read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it unto the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. They said, is not this Joseph's son? He said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. He said unto them, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. That's Elijah. Elias is Elijah. But under none of them was Elias sent, save the Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving. That word saving means except Naaman the Syrian. Naaman was a bad man, as we would say. He was a mighty man. He helped deliver the people against the Syrians, against him. Anyway, but the Bible says one thing about Naaman, what I just read. He was a mighty man, but he was a leper. So anyway, and all their synagogue, they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. How stupid. Why would they be mad? And the word of God will do one of two things. It'll make you shouting glad, or it'll make you fighting mad. They were in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, rose up and thrust him out of the city. Talking about Jesus, led him unto the brow of the hill, whereupon the city was built. Those cities is built on walls, that they might cast him down headlong. That means head first. They're going to throw him over the cliff, as we would say. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. So in other words, that was a miracle. He disappeared, because it wasn't his time yet. He came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. So what he said, as always, going to come to pass. You can't stop him. He does what he will in the army of heaven. None can stay his hand. Talking about God, this is what Daniel said. None can stay his hand. In other words, you can't stop him. Or say unto him, what doest thou? Because he's going to do what he will. His counsel's going to stand. He's going to do all of his pleasure. And in the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil,
and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Remember, I said he's one. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. When the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. Talking about the man that Jesus just cast that devil out. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. He arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. So if you've been following me, I kind of use this example in the miracles. He stood over her, and the fever left her. Another writer says he took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her. And another one said that he touched her, and the fever left her. But the point being, the fever left. So this Luke said, Luke got a hold of this real quick. He did, before he ever touched her, before he ever took her by the hand, he stood over her, and the fever left her. So, and immediately he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now the sun was setting. All they that heard had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art the Son of God. He rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. Remember I said that before.
The devil knows who Jesus is. They knew who he was. So they know it's not, like I said, James 2:19, thou believest there is one God, thou do as well. James is writing his general epistle. And so he knew that he was a very Christ. So we thank God for that. So you got to look at what is going on when you, in every situation. So he preached in their synagogues, and he was glorified of all. So we know, we got to know about the master, and we got to know what the master is doing. So we can't be, lost on what's going on. So the devil knows that there's one God, and they tremble. So how much more people? We got to know what's going on. So we're going to move on here, and this is so important. Like I said, what a word here in the book of Luke, what our master was doing here. And so it's just so very important what he did, and the importance of what he did in proving who he was. Just like he said, if you would have known Moses, you would have known me, for he wrote of me. So we got to know who he is by what he did, being the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody should know that. And so this is what's so important. People don't realize that. So we're going on here in Mark. We want to go into Mark here because we are talking about word power. And so the thing of it is that Christ should be preached, not all these other things, how people are making themselves so important. God don't have, like I said before, he don't have to have me. God will raise up somebody like to do his work and to do his will. His will is going to be done. So the point being, even his word has already gone out. We got to know his word. We got to discover our spiritual gifts. That's why it's important to be under leadership, as people, we've got to, then that way you can discover your gifts. So in the 25th chapter of Matthew, he gave the talents, you know, to one, five, to one, two, and to one, one. So we know the one that had the five, he got five others. The one that had two, he doubled his. But the one that had the one, he had his. So you got to be, all you can be is who you are. And the point is, Christ got to be preached. So people say things, a lot of arrogant people full of pride, and you got to watch that, because that's none other than the enemy getting in your head. You got to keep your heart right. So there's a scripture in Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So you got to watch and pray. You got to watch your own heart. So we're moving on here in our word power here. And he began again to teach by the seaside. There was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. Talking about Jesus. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine. Remember, that word doctrine is teaching. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the sea, the wayside, and the fowls came. Fowls of the air came and devoured it. And incidentally, we got to know the geography here. These people are farmers. That is why he used parable. He put it, like somebody said, where the goats can get it, right down where they could understand it. So it came to pass, he sowed some. Some fell by the wayside. The fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. Immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Remember now, he's talking about the sower sowing. Some fell among thorns. The thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. He said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. He said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see, not perceive, and hearing they may hear, not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. He said unto them, know ye not this parable? A question. And how then will ye know all parables? So here's the answer. The sower soweth the word. Not money. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they had heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. These are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. What is he talking about? We're talking about the seed. We are talking about the word. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. He said unto them, is a candle bought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? Remember, also in Matthew, he said, men don't light, they don't put candles on a bushel. They put it up where you can see. Men don't do that. So in other words, you don't cover a light up. You use the light to see, is what he's saying. There's nothing hid which should not be manifest, neither is there anything kept secret, but that should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. He said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again, and unto you that hear shall be more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, for him shall be taken away, even that which he hath. That happened with those talents in the 25th chapter of Matthew. He said unto them, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep, and rise not in day, and a seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full ear of corn. If anybody know anything about gardening, you can see the process. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately put it in the sickle, because the harvest is come. He said unto them, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which is, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is grown, is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Let me pause right there. Remember, we're talking about word power. So let me tell you something, other things about God. Like somebody said, what you want God to do is speak in a situation. Because what you want, as we say, what is the word on it? What is God's word on it? Because you get God's word on it, God cannot lie. The Hebrew writer says it was impossible for God to lie, that we might receive, consolation. Two immutable things, he said. So immutable is that word immutable means unchanging. So he said, when he swear by no greater, he's talking about God, he swear by himself. That means he swore alone, saying, blessed and I'll bless you. So in other words, whatever he said is going to come to pass, because his word has went out in righteousness. But here's what Jesus said. Here's what changed things. Many times you see, and God said, and the Lord God said, and God said in the Old Testament. So here's what Jesus did when he came on the scene. He said, it hath been said, thou shalt not, and this, that, and the other in old times. But three words, but I say. This is what Jesus said, but I say. Those three words change things. So we know there are things that happen when someone got a word from the Lord. Hezekiah got a word from the Lord. God wasn't going to judge him in his days. And so Hezekiah said, good is the word of the Lord. In other words, I'm glad. Because this what you're talking about? It ain't going to happen to me. But your word is good. So we go on here. Remember now, we're talking about word power. Let us pass over unto the other side. This is the master saying. So we know we're going to go on here and see what happened. I can't believe how fast this time has gone on today. So we just got to fly on with this. When he had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. There were also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat the ship so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, talking about Jesus. They wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They asked him a question. He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? They feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? So what we're going to have to do, we're going to have to come back next week, because we haven't even skimmed the surface on this word power. So like I said, things, whatever the Lord says is going to come to pass, and is so important. It is imperative. It's essential to get his word on something because God cannot lie. Whatever he says is going to come to pass, and people know that. So the point being, so that's how you know if a person is a true, as they say, a prophet or a false prophet, because God can't lie. So if somebody says something, and you got to rightly divide the word. You can't be going getting no ordinances and all of these things out of the Old Testament, try to institute them in the New Testament. That's not going to work. So that's why we got to have with all you're getting, get an understanding. We got to be established, as Apostle Peter wrote, in the present truth. Because the present truth is not going to be the truth that you need if you miss the rapture of the church. Because you're not going to be, got to go to the church and go get, repent of your sins and get baptized in the name of Jesus and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost during the tribulation period. Oh, no. Worship the beast, you're going to have to not take the mark of the beast. You're going to have to give your head. So now it behooves us to be established in the present truth, to save yourselves from this untoward generation in this dispensation. Because it's going to be totally, like we say, a horse of another color in that time. So you got to be established in the present truth on now. So so important, whatever the Lord says, his word is with power. And so this last scripture I will make mention of before we have to go on today, and that is Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick. That means it's alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder to the dividing of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Talking about the word of God. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So God bless you. We'll be back on next time with part two of Word Power.
Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.
Tune back in on next time. I don't know what our out music is not playing, so that's why we still have silence, because we still have like about 27 seconds left. So we just thank God for you all, and we count it a privilege and a blessing to be able to bring Truth Ministry unto you. So we look forward on next time. God willing, we'll be next week. We'll be bringing part two on our next broadcast of Truth Ministry. God bless you.